This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Join us right now, one of the best in the game, one of my all-time favorites, covering your New York Yankees for MLB.com. My guy, Brian Hoke. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going well. You know, you and I go back some years now, which is funny because it's like, time flies, man, and I always make the joke, and I got to be careful about the jokes, but I always make the joke with you about how I met you at the London series in the bathroom, and it was one of those awkward situations where I'm like, what if I don't run into Brian Hoke the rest of the London series? I can't ask him for a pick in the bathroom, but I could just wait out here until he comes out.
Yeah, you waited outside the bathroom, and I'm just glad I washed my hands that day, yeah. Man, that London series was crazy, and we've kept in touch ever since then.
Yeah, long way from those days. Aaron Hicks in center field. Now we got Cody Bellinger in center field. All right. The Yankees making moves. All the fans are talking about the three additions, and we'll talk about all three, but we'll start with Cody Bellinger. I think we all kind of knew that this was coming. We didn't know when. We didn't know the terms. We didn't know which player would be sent. There were rumors about Will Warren or Marcus Stroman, and we weren't sure how much money either. So can you talk to us about the money, how they landed on the $5 million, how they landed on Cody Poteet, from what you know between the Cubs and the Yankees?
Yeah, what I had been told is that the Yankees were looking for the Cubs to pick up at least $10 million of it. And so at that point, it was kind of just haggling over it and going back and forth. But I mean, Bellinger's just made so much sense for this team. He fits so many needs that to let him get away potentially over $5 million, I mean, the Cubs were going to move him one way or the other. So you get a little bit of salary relief there. It doesn't really matter. And Cody Poteet did not significantly factor into the Yankees' plans for this coming year. So, yeah, you hold on to guys that you do have higher on the depth chart. And, you plug in a guy in Bellinger who's obviously got a track record. He's got an MVP under his belt, a bunch of all-star silver sluggers. He's got a gold glove. I mean, he can fit for you in center field. You can move him to left field if Jason Dominguez is ready in center field. He might help out at first base. So, and that left-handed stroke in Yankee Stadium, that's going to help his power numbers. You know, going back to last year, in the offseason, I thought that was the move the Yankees were going to make a year ago. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they surprised everybody and went and got Juan Soto, which you can't argue with that. I mean, that was a better move, but now Soto's gone, so you get chance two at Bellinger, and now plug him into the Yankee lineup and see how that goes.
Yeah, I've been saying Yankee fans have been talking about this the last two, three, 4 years. You can even go back, people mentioning Cody Bellinger, and the writing has been on the wall. Now, I know you might not have been writing about the Yankees back when Clay Bellinger was a Yankee in the late 90s, but talk about what you remember from him and how obviously his son is no stranger to the Bronx, and dad will probably give him some tips and get him ready.
Yeah, a little before my time. I mean, obviously, I was watching the dynasty there in the late 90s, and Bellinger got a couple rings there. I think he was on the 99 and 2000 teams. And so, yeah, versatile guy. He could, obviously, a role player there, not the star that his son became, but he experienced it. He knows what it was like to be around the Yankees. And I think that's the cool thing. The Yankees sent out a release there, and it's the fourth set of father-son duos. And I'm going to quiz you here. Off the top of your head, Keith, do you know the other three?
The other three father-son duos to play for the Yankees?
Yankees history. I'll give you an easy one. Yogi Berra and Dale Berra. That's one.
I don't know if we have enough showtime for this.
All right, I'll pick you up here. Mark Leiter and Mark Leiter Jr.
Easy one. Just happened.
Yep, and you're never going to get this one, Ron and Ike Davis. So you go from Yogi Berra, a Hall of Famer, to some other guys.
No, I like it. Brian Hoke on the phone with us right now from MLB.com covering your New York Yankees. What I also like is that the Yankees aren't done here. So we did hear that Cody Bellinger is going to be in center field. So then we immediately shift our focus to first base. And mm-hmm. You could figure that out with a trade. You could figure that out with the signing. There's been a bunch of names floated from Christian Walker, Pete Alonso, Carlos Santana, Paul Goldschmidt. Where do you think the Yankees go? Because we all are expecting the Yankees to upgrade at first base defensively.
I mean, they need to upgrade defensively, offensively. I mean, look, Anthony Rizzo, great guy in the clubhouse, but he just didn't give you much the last year plus. And so I think that of the names you mentioned, and yeah, they've shown interest in all those guys, I thought Christian Walker is the most likely fit. You can probably get him on a shorter term deal than what, say, Pete Alonso is looking for. Walker is a guy who above average offensive production, has gold glove caliber defense, and you can plug him in maybe on a 3-year deal. And I know he's on the wrong side of 30 here, but he's been one of the Diamondbacks' best offensive players there. And I think that he gets lost there playing on the West Coast, maybe not a household name that a lot of people maybe have seen or are aware of, but look into those numbers. And I think that that's a really nice fit there. Goldschmidt, of course, has a track record, but I feel like those numbers are declining. And Pete Alonso is looking for a ton of money, and I'm not so convinced he's not going back to the Mets. And so I think that if I have to pick a guy from that group you just mentioned, I think Walker's most likely.
Yeah, that's what I told Paulie, too. Paulie's like, Goldschmidt, Alonso, Walker, who you taking? I'm like, Christian Walker. I'd like to see it get done, but I know you can't continue to just keep spending. I don't know what they're going to do, though, with the luxury tax and the money that they save on Soto. Do you think that they're going to purchase an outfielder between Teoscar Hernandez and Anthony Santander?
That wouldn't be at the top of my list there, just because I still have questions about the infield. And so as of right now, you can go into this season and you've got Bellinger, you've got Jason Dominguez, you've got Aaron Judge. I feel like you can work with that. And Trent Grisham's still on this roster too, by the way. So you have some depth there. I'd like to see them figure out what they're doing, especially is Jazz Chisholm your third baseman going into this year, or does it make more sense to go get a more experienced defensive third baseman, especially when you're spending a ton of money on a ground ball guy like Max Fried? Can you put Chisholm at second then and maybe go get, are we talking about Nolan Arenado, or are we talking about Alex Bregman, or maybe a notch below that? Who's the next Gio Urshela that you can go dig up and find a guy to plug in at third base who'll give you a good glove and some pop there, and then maybe you spend on a Walker at first base? So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And I was listening as you were wrapping up on your last call there, and the caller said that, you know, it's a good thing that Soto left because it gives him more flexibility. It's not. Plan A was always keep Juan Soto, but Plan B is starting to look pretty good for this Yankee team. And so that's the one thing here. You do have a lot of flexibility and a lot of areas that they needed to spend stuff. It's not like signing a right fielder would have answered all the questions I had around this team. And now you plug in a number two starting pitcher. You go get a dominant closer. And now you get Bellinger, who I think we all expected was one way or another going to be on this Yankee team next year. I'm starting to see how this can all come together for this Yankee team.
Yeah, I can't let anybody say losing Juan Soto was better for the Yankees. Not in current time, not present day. Like, maybe we can look back on it in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But Plan A was Plan A. We can't act like we weren't all in on bringing the guy back that helped us get to the World Series. But that's the next thing. I look at the American League and I'm like, why can't this Yankees team that I already think has added three dynamic players that are going to be stars, that are going to be electric, why can't they get back to the World Series? The Yankees having that experience of getting to the World Series. You know, Judge failing in the World Series. There's no greater place to fail. Volpe hitting a grand slam. Wells coming through. Jazz getting the experience of hitting home runs. And obviously Stanton, who we can count on as a postseason monster. Like, I think that experience is going to carry. And it's only like 6 months apart, like, for the seasons to end and start. So I'm looking at this Yankees team like, listen, we lost Juan Soto, but that doesn't mean we're not going to just retool and potentially run right through the American League and get back and be better suited to not let a fifth inning happen like we had against the Dodgers. Are you thinking that's the philosophy change? Are you thinking that's the mentality here? Like, let's tighten up the screws here with pitching and better defenders and see how far that gets us.
Well, Keith, you have no choice because the situation they're in, the Yankees never rebuild anyway, but you're not going to tear this down and start from scratch here. So, I mean, you're in a situation here. Look, Aaron Judge isn't getting any younger. You know, the window's not getting more open here for him, for Gerrit Cole, for Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, this is a team you have here. And so, yeah, you have to kind of tighten up the screws here, as you said, and add what pieces you can and try and make this stronger and better. And the thing is, you know, obviously, let's go back to October here. I never thought the Yankees were playing at their best, even when they were in those series against Cleveland and Kansas City. I mean, I was doing a thing for Apple, which is doing a documentary on the World Series, and they asked me, we were at Dodger Stadium on the workout day, and they said, you know, what concerns you about this Yankee team? And I said, I don't love the way they've been running the bases. I don't love the way they've been playing defense here, and I think that they've gotten away with it against Cleveland and Kansas City, and I don't think the Dodgers are going to let them off the hook. So if they do that here in this World Series, they're going to be in trouble, and I'm going to look like a genius when this thing comes out because then they're going to probably cut right to the clip of Game 5 and that fifth inning. So I never thought they were playing at their best. I think we saw their best early in the regular season, and then after that they kind of coasted for a while. They really slumped in the summertime, and then they turned it on a little bit, but this team wasn't the best it could be last year. They won 94 games, and look, if Clay Holmes doesn't blow 13 saves in the closer, you're probably over 100 wins. Yep. So, I think there's a lot of areas where they could shore this up and make it stronger.
That doc is going to be crazy. I saw a camera in the bleachers back in June, that first game of the Dodgers series, and it was this big camera, and it had the three lenses like the iPhone has. And I remember being like, what the hell are they filming? Who is that? And it made sense that it's Apple, and I ended up, you know, hearing about it. That's going to be a great doc. You should start writing the book because I really feel like this is a book. The comeback story, how they lost that World Series, how they lost Juan Soto, how they retooled the team and can get back to the World Series. And maybe it's the Dodgers there, maybe it's the Mets, maybe it's the Padres, the Phillies. But, man, what a story would it be for the Yankees without Juan Soto to get right back. And, you know, that I just think that's right in front of us right now. That's going to be a hell of a book.
Well, first of all, you just dropped it's right in front of us. So, I think you owe Aaron Boone a nickel. Look, hey, I've got the pen, I've got the laptop, but I can't write the story without them doing it on the field. So, let's see what happens this season. You've sold me on the idea. I was ready to write a World Series book this past year, but let's see how this goes. That would be quite a plot twist there. A good story. And like I was talking about this last night with somebody else, and you know, Mark Feinstein and I wrote the book 10 years after the 2009 Yankees. And I remember that book came out and I was kind of like watching that 2019 playoffs. And I said, well, you know, if they win the World Series now, that's going to kind of take away from the 10 year anniversary book. And then obviously it didn't happen, but I never expected it to go this far. And so now 15 years without a Yankees World Series. I think you got an appetizer for it last year. I think it stung, I'm sure, in that clubhouse. You could tell there was a lot of really, really upset players in that room. And then I think it should serve as motivation going into this year that, look, they got right back there. This is an American League that's winnable, and they can get back to that. They've got the talent. Now they're just going to go out and do it.
Yeah, you just made me think of something. We're on the phone right now with Brian Hoke from MLB.com. Were you in the building at Citi Field when Juan Soto had his press conference?
I was not. No. I was coming back from the winter meetings that day. But I heard they put on quite a show for Mr. Soto.
Yeah, I had eyes on it. Did you think it was interesting, like you just said, right? We heard all the reports about the Yankees and how sad they were, how down they were after Game 5. I think Andy Martino even reported that, you know, players were sobbing. Did you think it was interesting that Juan Soto said he hadn't talked to any of those guys? And then when you think back to Game 5, Juan Soto having that huge media scrum with some reporters from the Mets side asking him about Steve Cohen, asking him about the Mets and how quickly he started his Boris campaign of, oh, I'm available to all 30 teams, I'm a free agent. It's like, wow, Juan, you're still in the building here. Like, the wound is fresh.
Well, I tell you what, I was in that scrum, and I remember saying that night, I said, the only person in this room smiling right now is Juan Soto, and I took note of that. And so, that kind of set the tone for where I was seeing this offseason go, is that this was not a situation where Aaron Judge took the second best offer to come back to the Yankees. I always figured that Soto was going to go out and try and get as much money as he could on the table, and who's got more money than Steve Cohen? So I am surprised that the Yankees went as far as they did in trying to bring him back. I thought they were past their limit when they were over $700 million there. And so, I never that night, the World Series, I kind of got the feeling that this was going to go for the biggest dollar. And if there was any chance of him remaining with the Yankees, it was going to be because he really, really bonded with Aaron Judge and loved the clubhouse and was willing to take a lesser offer. I always thought the Mets were going to have a high offer. And so when Judge told us after he won the MVP that he hadn't even texted Soto, nothing to be like, hey, man, you know, good luck this offseason, you know, have fun traveling or, you know, hope to play with you again. Nothing like that. I mean, gosh, I text people all day, every day, you know. I just that kind of raised my antenna a little bit, too. It was kind of odd that, especially, look, yeah, Devin Williams was on a call with us today and said, oh, yeah, I already heard from Aaron Judge. And it's like, huh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. Judge was able to get his number and welcome him right to the team. Something I thought was interesting from the Devin Williams call, he said that he usually leaves the country after the season, but this year he decided to come to New York. So he spent 10 days in New York walking around, probably taking the train. He said he went to Brooklyn. He went to the museum. I'm like, look at the foreshadowing. Universe never unconnects. This guy was getting a lay of the land in New York as a tourist in October while the Yankees were making their run to the World Series. And he also said in his call that the Dodgers, there was rumors that the Dodgers were going to trade for him, and Cashman swooped in there. Anything else from the call with Devin Williams that you heard that kind of, you know, piqued your interest or made you get to your pen and say, oh, that's interesting?
Yeah, big MoMA guy, too. Yeah, he went to the MoMA. He went to the American Museum of Natural History, the Brooklyn Art Museum. Like, this guy got around town. It wasn't just kind of walking through Times Square. So he was seeing New York and seeing the museums. He seems like an interesting guy. And yeah, he did mention that he expected a trade. And, you know, this is the way that things just operate in Milwaukee. When you start making a certain dollar amount, yeah, the clock is ticking here on a trade. And so he had been reading some media reports that thought it was going to be the Dodgers in L.A., and that made sense. And so he was about ready to start a workout and got a text. And yes, there was a trade, but it was the Yankees. And so, he's excited about this opportunity. And it's kind of funny that pitch he has, the airbender, this changeup that's kind of a screwball that it really has been his bread and butter. It comes from Trent Grisham. Yeah. Grisham gets an assist on this because they were in a live at bat. They were teammates together with the Brewers back in 2019 during spring training. And Grisham said, hey, man, I'm picking up your changeup. I can see the grip, you know. And so they changed it a little bit. They tweaked it, and suddenly it just got a whole lot better. And Williams' career has never been the same. And so, he offered Grisham a little thank you today on the call. And, they'll probably get to be teammates again when the Yankees get to spring training in February.
Yeah, I'm excited for the guy. He's going to have to shave that beard. He also said that it's been 6 years since he was clean shaven. And a thought that I had is like, okay, all this talk about the Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore, and the Yankees are too corporate, and the Yankees need to change, and Juan Soto left for Queens because it looks like more fun. I know the Yankees aren't going to do it, but if the Yankees decided now, drop the facial hair policy with Devin Williams coming in, with Cody Bellinger coming in, Max Fried coming in. They're not going to do it. But I'm like, that would really shake up, you know, people's thoughts about the Yankees and them kind of evolving into the future. Just say, hey, we're not doing that anymore. You think that'll ever change, or you think they're going to stick to that one?
No, they're going to stick to it because that's the, you know, as Reggie Jackson once told me, that's the way the sheriff wants it. And the sheriff was George Steinbrenner. Mm-hmm. So it's going to stay that way. But I'll tell you what, a lot of guys look better with facial hair, man. And the one that sticks out of my mind like immediately is Jason Giambi. And when they made him go clean shaven and corporate, it was just like, that's not you. And so, no, it's not going anywhere. They can have mustaches if they want to. But this is, from the Steinbrenner family on down, as long as they're in charge of this team, that's the way it's going to stay.
Yeah, we saw Clay Holmes today introduced as a Met finally, and he's already grown in a little bit of stubble. He's working on his beard for opening day. Last thing for you, we'll see Max Fried tomorrow. I'm excited for it because Yankee fans were getting worried, like, hey, it hasn't been announced that Max Fried is official. When's it going to be? And I'm like, listen, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe there's some things they got to get done with the contract. But I think we're going to get the announcement and then obviously get the press conference. And I'm excited to see the press conference because, I mean, the Yankees, they do a great job when they sign a player, when they bring a player in, the pageantry of it. I always am excited to see that. Are you going to be there tomorrow? And what type of questions do you think you're going to ask Max Fried?
I'll be there. And, if you've got anything you need asked, let me know. Otherwise, I'm sure I'll come up with some good ones. But, I think that people might be sleeping on Fried a little bit. And you go look at his numbers, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball since 2020. And so, I had some fans who may not be diehards. You know, they watch the Yankees, but they don't watch the rest of the league. And they say, well, what do you know about this guy Fried? Is he any good? And I said, he's good. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that you can plug him in, and he's going to be back-to-back with Gerrit Cole. And I am interested to see how he and Cole click, because I think that's going to be a really good relationship in spring training. You know, Fried from Southern California, kind of the same background as Gerrit. And so I feel like that might be quite wind up being a little brother, big brother relationship there at the top of the Yankee rotation. So I'm interested to see how or if they feed off each other this spring, because I think they're going to hit it off pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would ask him about what it means, Sim, to be a Yankee, if that's still a thing, right? Because I know he's a baseball guy. I know he's from Cali. He's coming from Atlanta, which is a winning culture, established organization with their own history and their own pride. I'd want to hear something about what it means to him to put on the pinstripes, because there's a lot of people now, because Juan Soto switched over to the other side, trying to act like the Yankees aren't the Yankees and that doesn't mean anything anymore, and I know it does.
I think we can make that happen for you, Keith.
Brian, you're the man. I'll let you go. I look forward to seeing you popping up tomorrow with some questions. I appreciate you joining me tonight.
You got it, man. Take care. See ya.
Brian Hoke, MLB.com. My guy, covering your New York Yankees.